your kids so picky when it comes to food? I've been doing a lot of research on this topic and have a specific scientific explanation that you've probably never heard before. If you have trouble getting your kids to eat anything, I sympathize with you. Why? Because I am that picky eater, to the extreme. I eat like a 4-year-old just let out of prison. No pepper, no salt, no butter. Doritos? Too hot. Cooked vegetables? No, thank you. I don't drink tea, I've never tried coffee, and my eating habits are so strange that the Discovery Health Channel did an hour-long documentary about me in an attempt to try and figure me out. So I know about picky eating. I am that picky kid, and still am. Medically speaking, it's referred to as food aversion. Picky doesn't really describe how bad this is. It's not just a kid thing they'll eventually grow out of. It's something much more severe. I used to read about people called super tasters, people who had a super high density of taste buds on their tongue. Maybe I was a super taster, I thought. Maybe that's why I hated most food. The head of the eating disorder clinic at Duke University Hospital said no. She said that I had OCD, an anxiety coping mechanism. Through the television show, I went through a bunch of therapy, went on Celexa, which helped a bit, and eventually had my first beer and sushi at age 36. In a perfect world, I could have the same thing every day and would never have to eat at someone else's house with mystery death food. I like routine, I like bland carbs, no spices, no weird textures, and whatever happens, no casserole. If you have children like this, it can be exasperating. People laugh about your picky child, but it's not fun, and it's not funny. Planning meals is extremely difficult. Travel becomes extra stressful. Eating at other families' houses require making special concessions for your special kid. Like I said, I know what a challenge this can be. I've struggled with it my whole life. But I finally think I know what might be the cause of it. I recently finished writing a book called Crooked Man-Made Disease Explained. In the book, I show how two separate phenomena appeared in the last 200 years that caused all kinds of new disorders and illnesses that we had never had to deal with before. When I started research for the book, I never imagined the discoveries I made might touch on eating disorders like this, but they did. And now the picky eating makes complete sense to me. There are a couple of things that can cause this food aversion, and you're not going to be excited about hearing any of them. First off, I'd rule out that your child has trouble swallowing. Swallowing is a very complex, half-voluntary, half-involuntary sequence of events that are controlled by the cranial nerves in your head. These are different than the nerves that come off your spinal cord, as they come directly out of your brain stem. Some of them work together to allow you to swallow food, and if you have a problem with any of these cranial nerves, it may become challenging to eat. Liquids can become especially difficult. I hear about mothers with babies that suddenly start spitting up their milk and they believe they might have reflux or possibly an allergy. I take a serious look at their mouth and eyes to make sure they haven't developed a crooked face recently, the hallmark sign of cranial nerve damage. Another issue may be with tongue control. When you chew food, your tongue is used to push and twist the food around your mouth so your teeth can break it down. Problems with other cranial nerves can cause you to lose control of your tongue and make breaking down solid foods difficult. In infants, this can cause latching problems. Sometimes you can see it happen if your baby starts having tongue protrusion like this. But for older children, you might notice them biting their tongue a lot as they eat because they don't have full control over their tongue. This may simultaneously cause speech disorders. But anyway, you might want to take a look and make sure they don't have paralysis of their tongue. Those are probably less common issues. Some of the cranial nerves in your head are used for sensing things, like taste. When you develop problems with sensory cranial nerves, they become more sensitive. Certain perfumes can make you sick. Noises can feel painfully loud. And taste, which is a combination of what your nose and tongue are doing, can become extremely sensitive if you develop certain cranial nerve palsies. I believe this is what I have. I've always described myself as a super taster. Anything that is not completely bland feels like it's burning my tongue. That's why many of these kids like carbohydrates. They are typically bland foods with little flavoring other than perhaps a bit of salt. Sugar is usually tolerated, but other than that, they usually are not going to want it. It's just too strong for them to feel safe eating. And speaking of feeling safe, the last component of food aversion is anxiety. When we are born, we consume only liquids. As we get older, we graduate to more sophisticated solid foods. This requires not only a physical change in our body in the form of teeth, but a mental change in our brain. There are many instinctive danger cues built into our eating habits that we must overcome as we get older in order to graduate from a diet of only mother's milk. For most children, this confidence and growth happens naturally as they get older and learn to experiment with more varied tastes. It can be very difficult to overcome this anxiety in children with hypersensitive taste buds due to cranial nerve palsies, but an additional dimension of struggle will often come from texture issues, not taste. Just as we get older and learn to accept more varied flavors, we are supposed to learn to tolerate more textures. Food texture can send danger signals to the brain just as strong as spoiled milk or rotting fruit. To a parent, the food may seem to be perfectly mild, but to the child, the texture of it screams danger. I can attest to this. For me, corn on the cob is a fine bit of food I'd happily consume any time, but corn off the cob in a bowl, I just can't do it. I know it doesn't make any sense. It's the same exact food, but the texture or the method of delivery is something that it just terrifies me. I think this is why casserole is so difficult for me. Anything with multiple conflicting textures triggers extreme anxiety in my survival complex. If you were to puree it down to sauce, I'd probably be fine with it, but it's the texture that's the problem. Finally, some of the mechanisms that cause cranial nerve problems can also trigger dysfunction in the brain that inadvertently creates too much norepinephrine or cortisol. This will create a very high anxiety child in the form of ADHD and or other behavioral issues. When this anxiety level is so high, it will often exhibit itself in the unwillingness to try new foods. You can call it OCD if you like, but wanting the same food every day is simply a way of minimizing the anxiety caused by food. It's a primal survival mechanism that's being activated because of the brain chemistry dysfunction, just like aggressive behavior or gut issues. Dr. Stephen Porges, creator of the polyvagal theory, says that taste aversion produces a regurgitative response that has adaptive function following the ingestion of contaminated foods. Taste aversion, similar to immobilization and disassociation, attempts to minimize life threat and internal injury. Without going into all the details, I talk about this in the book, but just understand that childhood trauma may create a heightened sense of anxiety around eating, especially if the food comes from you. This is a horrible concept I'm not going to talk about right now, but it may be the reason so many of these kids prefer prepackaged foods. They feel safer than what you may be cooking them. It may even explain why certain color cues signal safety or danger when it comes to food. Their anxiety levels may be that far off the chart. Read my book, Crooked: Man-Made Disease Explained, if you want to know more, and you should want to know more. Thankfully, as we study what might be actually causing picky eating, we will get closer to understanding how to work around it. We're getting better at treating cranial nerve palsies and anxiety disorders, and it's my hope that one day most kids and parents won't have to deal with food aversion. I'm not saying they're going to be eating crickets from a stick, but maybe, just maybe, Thanksgiving casserole. And that is my incredible opinion.